Welcome, everyone, to today's episode of Be Freaking Awesome. I am one of your hosts, Sammy Kinnison, here with Angela Belford. And today we are continuing our series on questions to ask with the question, what else? What else is there to ask? What else can you ask when you, in particular, want to build a conversation? That's really what we want to focus on. It could just be what else in general, but we want to talk about being a good conversationalist and a good person in relationships. And sometimes that means being a really good question asker. That means being able to listen well and engage and ask the right kinds of questions to get people to open up. One of the ones that I have found, I think this is actually a little bit more applicable at work, though, than in personal relationships, is what else? When you're chatting with somebody and you're in a check-in and, you know, how are things going? What's on your mind? What else? What else is on your mind? What else is going on for you? That has been a really good open-ended question for me to help engage more.
Interesting. I've never used that. So thank you. I'm going to write that down. And I think because most of my check-ins are with you. And so when we've talked for 2.5 hours, then I kind of don't need to ask what else. Anyway, but I love that. That's fantastic. How do you get those check-ins started to be so that people are more open-ended?
So one, this is actually true with friends and with others. As the person who talks a lot, I try to be really mindful of not talking the majority of the conversation. And when you have people who aren't necessarily as chatty, you do have to figure out what kinds of questions to get somebody to open up. Another example among friends, we had a group of friends from college who actually did a little catch up on Zoom recently. And I asked the question, what has been something that's been occupying a lot of your brain space lately?
Ooh, I love that.
I felt like it was a really good question to ask people, not just what's a high, what's a low, but what have you been thinking about? What's been stewing for you? What are the things going on in your world that you've been thinking about? And it could be good or bad. And for me, it was a really good just question to gauge how my friends are doing. And there was one person who kind of just had like one thing. And I was like, what else? And they're like, oh, well, I guess also this other thing. And I was like, oh, what else? And they're like, oh, actually this other really big thing. And so sometimes this person just didn't feel like, I think there was a little bit of it. They're like, oh, I don't want to take up more space than what's mine. I don't want to talk for other, you know, in space of other people. But sometimes there's more going on. And sometimes what else? What else is in your brain? What else is going on for you? Even in like a brainstorming space, this can be really helpful. I believe in coming up with a lot of ideas because some of them are bound to be horrible. And the more ideas you have, the better chance you have of finding a good one. Continuing to ask this, what else? What else? What else? What else can I do to make this situation better? What else can I avoid to make the situation not get worse? What else can I do with my kids in the summer to keep them occupied? I don't know. It just continues to work for me to expand the kinds of results I'm getting, the kind of answers I'm getting, kind of approach I have.
So what it sounds to me like is that what else is a fabulous conversation follow-up. I was totally, when we started this conversation, thinking of it as like, oh, we're going to give people kind of, which we can give some more conversation openers and some more interesting questions to ask. But I love this as a great follow-up question, you know, because I will say to people, what have you been up to? Oh, not a whole lot. What else could possibly, I mean, it might be a little grammatically awkward to ask it like that, but I love this as a getting people talking some more because I also struggle with that. I mean, obviously we have podcasts because we have a lot of words that we want to say. And I think that doing follow-up questions like this, what else, really could be super beneficial I say my question a little different than what you said, what's taking up a lot of brain space. I'll ask people what's big in your windshield right now, because if you're driving along and you come upon a semi truck and it's in front of you, then you often can't see around it. And so I think about it like, well, what's big in your windshield right now? People think my questions are weird enough, so I don't always get great answers to that question. But it is a way to kind of think through that.
I think that, one, I'll ask, what are your thoughts on blank a lot? I do want to speak to the follow-up, where I think even in being a good conversationalist with somebody, we've talked a lot about non-judgment and holding space for a lack of judgment. I think that you become a better conversationalist when you can, you know, reserve that judgment. And instead of being like, oh my gosh, that's horrible, or oh my gosh, that's amazing, it can be, ooh, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. What else about that? How is that making you feel? What led you to this place? There are some curiosity questions that I think can really help open up. I will say, I actually use this a lot when having political discussions with people, that I'll ask, you know, how did you get to this particular opinion? Like, what is it about this that leads you there? What else about this is important to you? I think it's really interesting to understand where people are coming from and then end the conversation. And then at a second point in time, if you want to try convince somebody to think how you think about things, first, you got to start with understanding where they're coming from. I think that's a much more successful persuasion tactic, even though other people disagree with me and think it's more important to just like let them know they're wrong. That is a tactic you are totally allowed to take. I find it more effective of actually changing minds and convincing people of a different point of view in anything to try to understand where they're coming from.
One of my favorite, when we talk about follow-up, is not a question, but it's like you said, tell me more. I picked this up from a coach of mine, and he and I say it a lot, say more words. Because I like sometimes some, and I, you and I have a lot of shorthand. I have several friends that we have shorthand. So we know this big, long story, and then we can just like summarize it down to two words or three words. And so then other people have shortcuts in their brain of what something means. And so when I say more words, then it gives them an opportunity to articulate. And I haven't jumped to conclusions, which also helps me not judge them when I can get them to be more, give them space, hold more space for them to be able to say all the things that they're thinking. And say more words just doesn't feel like, it doesn't say, I think you're wrong. You know, it kind of like, tell me more. I love both of those ideas. What are some other conversation openers when you're trying to like get people to have more meaningful conversation?
So I actually want to sort of adjust your question a little bit. There are times where there are things that you can Google that there's so many answers. Even we've been doing this within our like workshop offerings, what we've done. No. Everybody else can tell you about those things. But let me tell you about the things that everybody else may not actually be talking about. So go ask your ChatGPT, go put into Google, what are your conversation openers? Okay. Here are your conversation continuers. The questions to continue your conversation. Is that true? Which is one that you ask my children a lot, by the way. It's pretty good toddler response. She'll be like, that's right, they're telling everybody else. You know, Henry will say something that happened at school, and she'll be like, really? Is that true? And it doesn't necessarily have
right,
to be.
I do say that all the time.
You say it all the time.
They'll say,
Dana,
like, the sky is blue. And I'll be like, I don't know. Are you sure that's true? Is that true? Yeah, I do that just to play with them a lot. It's funny.
Right. And I also think that there are times where I will use it. It feels like a more gentle challenge when people are sort of struggling with something, they'll be like, oh, well, I have to do it this way. I'll be like, is that true? Do you have to? I don't know. Is that really how it is? To me, it's one of the more gentle challenges. Is that true? And I think it can continue the conversation where somebody might still come to the conclusion, yes, it is true, but you really had to double check and kind of check your work, make sure you got to the right conclusion. The other conversation continuer is a little bit therapist-y, but how did that make you feel? Or some variation on that. The like, oh, this big thing happened. How did that make you feel? Like, what came up for you in that? I especially like this when somebody's telling me stories about their family or, you know, how the holidays went, and they'll tell something. I might react in a different way than somebody else. And so my assumption that this was this big, horrible thing, maybe it wasn't for them, or vice versa. Maybe I thought it was pretty normal, and for them, it was really dramatic and really big. And so how did that make you feel? What came up for you? What kind of emotions came up for you when that happened can be something to get people, invite them to dig a little bit deeper and respond more. I think that sort of the art of continuing a conversation really is about wanting to understand them more. I think that us as humans, we crave being seen, and being able to give that gift to somebody else to see them in their story, in whatever's going on, in who they are, is such a beautiful thing. And so what are the questions that you can ask to help see them more deeply? I do also want to encourage that this is not a skill, or this is a skill that you can develop. It's not something that happens overnight. It is not talent. I remember deciding when I was a teenager, I want to be a good question asker. And I'm going to make intentional effort to become a good question asker. That was years ago that I decided to be a good question asker. You could decide today, I want to ask better questions. I want to be a good questioner and start to make a difference in your life. So even if this isn't something that you do a lot in continuing conversations, you could always start.
When you were talking about the people want to be seen, I recently was at a networking event and I was walking in and I saw somebody that, I mean, they're an acquaintance. I love the strength of loose ties, you know, and I said, hey, how are you? She goes, I'm good. And I went up and I put my arm around her and I said, I see you. I see that you're just filling in the answer. And if you want to tell me what you actually are feeling, you can. And if you want, I will accept your response, but know that someone sees that you're giving a default answer. And we're walking into a networking event. If you don't want to get into it, I'm going to let you not get into it, but please know you're seen. And just the deep breath they took, we're like, Thank you. Yeah, I do just need you to accept the default response today. I can't get into it. And I was like, that's totally fine. And it felt so good to me to just affirm them. I didn't get the deep connection. I didn't get the big giant oxytocin, but I felt good. Hopefully by the deep breath, it looked like it felt good to them. So that's, sometimes the coping skill is also, today I'm choosing to choose good, right? And that, it's okay. It's okay when sometimes you got to choose good. And it's okay to also, when somebody wants to follow on a question and to ask the deeper question, it's okay for you to say, I'm not ready to get into that. Or, And you can leave it there, or I hadn't figured out how I felt yet, or whatever, but it's okay to then also, if you need to say, nope, I don't want to go deeper right now, cause I'm holding it together. Leave me alone. That's also a strategy that you can use if you're not ready to go. And you may never be ready with that person to go deeper. You may not ready to go you know, I'm gonna unpack it with my therapist before I unpack it with everybody else, right? Those are right. All acceptable things. So
no, that's a really good point. Also, on being able to even I would encourage gently saying no. I appreciate you asking and wanting to get to know more. I don't know that I want to go there right now. And a great way to pivot is to then throw a question back to them to get the other person, invite the other person to what's going on in your world. Tell me about you, something like that. Yep. You don't have to be gentle with it. You can be harsher. It can be really smooth for the relationship building to give the acknowledgement, appreciation. I see you want to go deeper. I personally am not at that space right now. Today's not the day. In your head, it could be you're not the person, whatever it might be.
Right.
And that's okay.
This is not the place I want to go unpack this.
Right.
To not unpack this at a networking event, which is totally fine.
I think that that's really good. So what else is going on for you instead? What else? Again, see, I can come up in all sorts of ways.
Beautiful.
Would love to hear what you guys have to say. What are your what else do you guys use to continue the conversation and to engage in those relationships? But for now, I hope you guys are able to take some tools, some skills, some little nuggets of information and have better relationships with other people so that you can live a freaking awesome life. I hope you guys go and have a freaking awesome day.